If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the cosmos and its creator, pure love. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. Our seminar topic this evening is The Cosmos is Conscious, Courteous, and Divinely Governed. So let's begin with an attunement. And just relax. And call yourself forward in your full embodiment as a divine incarnation. See every part of your being, your monad, that is to say your spirit, your soul, your human mind, perfectly connected with a golden strand of light. See it coming down into your human brain, which acts as a receptor and interpreter for your mind. And see that golden energy now flood throughout your nervous system, pouring into your chakras, and anointing you with a supernatural endowment of clarity and divine illumination that would be your highest rate this evening to receive and to integrate. And we ask that in perfect love, keeping in mind your individual soul contracts and agreements, and that which you have personally opted to experience and undergo in this incarnation. And we ask the presence of the beloved universal God of all creation, of all life, that indwells the hearts of all beings everywhere, to quicken his, her, its presence within our hearts, within our minds, within our understanding, right down into our core essence, flooding our levels with the faith, the strength, the courage, the confidence, the empowerment, and the wisdom to navigate the waters of these times, so that though they may be troubled, we can glide upon them like a divine Paramahansa, the supreme swan of divine knowing and wisdom. And into your hands, O Lord, we commend our spirits in this evening. Be you the speaker and in charge of all that takes place this evening. So the cosmos, beloved, is conscious, courteous, and divinely governed. So there's no necessity for you to be caught clueless. You know, it's time to get your inner cluefulness on. Perfect divine order and harmony prevail throughout the cosmos. All of creation is the result of the divine emanation of love. Impeccable order, mutual respect, and love governs the interactions between all celestial bodies, all star nations, all ultra-terrestrial civilizations, And yes, there is a form of cosmic courtesy that governs all interaction. So when you look up into the night sky, you are seeing the celestial forms of cosmic beings that have evolved to such a tremendous degree of great wisdom and expansion of awareness that they are pure love. And they love you. The sun loves you and has no intention to harm you. The sun, the moon, each planet, every universe and galaxy is the physical manifestation and creative expression of a highly evolved sentient being. These are, in fact, the cosmic personifications that have their, let's say, creative realm that manifests as a planet, as a sun, as a galaxy, as a universe. Everything that you see in the night sky is an embodied, sentient, aware, and highly conscious and loving being. And the sanctity of all life is revered by all within this divine cosmos. The sun, for example, is a manifestation of the solar logos, a being so highly advanced that dense physical matter has been transcended, and fiery luminosity now constitutes the physical form. And this sun is aware. The sun loves you. The sun loves the earth. The sun loves its solar system. And it's interesting, science has found now the evidence that there seems to be a portal or entrance corridor into the sun. They have actually shown, although many of them are airbrushed out, there are some photographs on the internet that show something that looks very much like the Starship Enterprise in the sun, and spaceships coming and going into the sun and through this dimensional corridor. Well, I have spoken about this, years ago, in these radio seminars, web radio, BBS seminars, about this very thing, that when you align with the inner sun, which is found in the center of your skull, which is the dimensional portal into the soul, and into the great central sun systems, which represent externally the sun of the cosmos or the soul of the cosmos, all of those solar disks line up so that you go from the local sun or the personal sun, the local sun, the systemic sun, the universal and galactic suns. They all line up, and you go through a corridor of luminosity which takes you into the very heart of the cosmic Christos and into the very heart of God itself. This is the sacred corridor that they are now physically actually finding evidence of scientifically. And you see, they can't discover something in the outer world that has not already been experienced in some degree in humanity's inner states of consciousness, for the outer is simply a reflection and projection of what is within. So all of these discoveries are part and parcel of the illumination of the human consciousness itself as it moves into closer alignment and attunement with the divine plan and its own solific divine essence. So there are beings that inhabit the sun. The cosmic avatar, Satya Sai Baba, has said that there are beings that inhabit the sun of a very advanced order. He has referred to the life that inhabits all planetary worlds, and that all of creation loves and reveres and is within God and from God and is moving in its evolution towards oneness with God. These advanced solar beings may be the solar angels that are referred to in theosophical literature. I don't know any other literature except for the information that has come through the great adept H.P. Blavatsky that actually goes into these levels of evolution. She speaks about it in her book, The Secret Doctrine, Cosmopogenesis, and Anthropogenesis, which goes into human and solar and systemic creation. Also, the books by A Treatise on Cosmic Fire by the Master D.K., given to his amanuensis, Alice Bailey, also goes into the different levels of the solar life and the systemic life that these great entities embody in the various orbs throughout creation. So the sun is changing its rotational field, and it is consciously aware that you and Earth are asleep. Now, when your mate is asleep, don't you move about gently in the bed, taking care not to disturb your loved one? So don't you think that a being as highly advanced as the sun wouldn't have the same consideration for the logos of this planet, which is the Lord Sanat Kumara? That is the planetary logos of Earth. Don't you think that same courtesy would be extended from the solar logos to the planetary logos? Hello. What do you think? You see, human beings in the mode of ignorance tend to project that ignorance and that insensitivity to everything and everyone without. But it simply is a product of the human ego mind that has absolutely no clue of the greater reality beyond the ego mind. You'll have to move your spiritual inner awareness into the zone of direct truth, direct cognition, and realization of divine truth before you could even begin to get a clue about how the universe actually is functioning. Now, it's also been observed on the YouTubes. I'm sure many of you have been YouTubing. that another sun with seven planets in a solar system is entering our solar system. Hello? Do you think that the logos of that sun and the logoi of those each of those planets and the spiritual governors and administrative heads of all of those planets are going to allow an intrusive, invasive, bombastic entrance that would disrupt this solar system? Hello, again, another projection from the human ego that would attribute any form of harmfulness in what's taking place in the universe at this time. Everything is divinely ordered and governed. And of course, as we spiral in our evolution up to the next gradation of light and awareness and consciousness and a more rarefied density of presentation, of course there's going to be another sun and planets that will take the present orbit that we're in. But it's orderly. It's divinely orchestrated. It's a harmonious dance. It's a dance of love. Also, there's information about Comet Ison coming in and Nibiru. And they fear a whole train of asteroids coming in the tail or the wake of Ison, the comet. Why do you fear things like that? These things have been going on for ages and ages and ages, and it's only now that you have a little bit of technology that enables a very limited peek into the greater omniverse of which we are a loved and respected family member. We're just having the tiniest little toenail of a peek into, you know, the greater omniverse. So again, you must bear in mind that the planetary logoi of each of these planets in our solar system has their own spiritual fiat of airborne emissaries of divine loving grace and light that administer and overlook and foresee and ward off anything that could be a potential, something that could potentially disturb the evolution of the sun and the planets in our solar system. This would be the Galactic Command, the Ashtar Command, you know, the great beings from Venus and Mars and Jupiter and all the other planets that have their own fleets, their own airborne division of their systemic servers, if you will. We're all servants of God. We are all co-workers of the divine. We are all divine agencies that facilitate the flow of energy and life and consciousness at the level of our given jurisdiction. So do not worry about these things, because what you're doing is taking the information from people who at best are speculating, guessing, projecting, but basically are coming from the mind. And the mind has always been called the slayer of the real. The mind is made up of the remembrance of previous experiences. So much of the fear-mongering and fear generation has to do with things that long ago were put to rest in cosmic galactic history, that had to do with galactic battles that were fought and won many eons ago. But some souls are still caught up in those, let's say, inner plane astral scenarios that appear to be happening within the dream field of present time, but in fact are not. All timelines being concomitant in the highest levels, and all lifetimes occurring concomitantly or at the same time in the eternal now, give that experience sometimes of where there's a bleed through of past into the present and future into the present, where you're working in time-space, which is always a variable. It's a variable due to the fact that consciousness is continuously creating anew. And when consciousness is conditioned by previous momentums, it veers into the past stream. And when it is actualized in the present moment, it is creative within the present wonderment of the miracle of now. So the present moment is always the moment of miracle. The past is always that which has been outlived, that which has long since been outgrown. So pay attention to where information is coming to you from. Discern the levels. Before you buy into any version of reality or any information that's presented, discern first the level it is coming from. And any information from anyone other than a perfectly God-realized master or avatar is dubious at best, because it's coming out of the human mind, which still is very closely identified with the physical body and the world dream, which is an imagination conjured by the belief in separation. I would like to share with you something Sai Baba said that really gives you food for thought here. Some of his students were sitting with him at a gathering, and one student raised the doubt and said, "Swami, if everything happens only by God's will, then why does good and bad exist?" And Swami Sai Baba very simply and beautifully said, "True, If you have total belief that everything is God's will, then there is no good and bad. However, if you take credit for some things and blame God for some things, then you are differentiating good and bad. In that case, you have to face the consequences of the good and bad. To experience everything is God's will, you must have 100% belief in it at all times and under all conditions. So what caused the separation in the Garden of Eden? Adamic man partook of the lie of the fallen one, who suggested and insinuated that Adamic man was separate from God. And Adamic man partook of, ate of, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And at that moment, fear entered, and Adamic man sought to hide from God and lost that constant awareness of the presence of God. Well, we can look at that allegorical story as the soul's learning experience of choosing to come into the template of duality so that it could understand duality. And, it's again a divine speculation as to whether or not that actually was necessary. And it probably was, because it happened. And everything happens according to God's will. But some speculate that perhaps it was a fall from grace, whereas others would suggest that it was to experience the return to grace, which is something actually you can only depart in an imagination. You can never leave the presence of God, nor can you ever be forsaken by God, except in an imaginary form of separation, which is what we call the ego mind. So it's interesting when you look at this whole matter of good and evil and God's will. Another time, Sai Baba said that humanity has only limited will, that it's like a cow tethered to a tree. It has a certain range within which it can graze and choose what part of that circumference it can lie down and graze in and so forth, but it's tethered to that tree. So consciousness is always circumscribed within a certain learning, training, teaching, experiential arena, whether it's this planet Earth or upon another world. And that gives you that classroom that you've opted to experience, to undergo, to scrutinize life through that particular lens and that particular curriculum. But the overall objective on planet Earth is to become conscious that you are God. Sai Baba is very clear to say, you are not a human being. You are not a human being. You're not a human. You're not a physical body. You are God. That's going to be his full message when when Prema Sai Baba begins his outer teaching, if he does do outer teaching. I assume he will. But anyway, that's the message of Prema Sai Baba, Sai Baba's next appearance, which is now upon Earth in infant form, at an unknown location. And that teaching will be, you are God. That's huge. I mean, and it has nothing to do with the ego's understanding. There's nothing prideful, arrogant, or vainglorious about that statement. It simply is true. But it's true for everyone, not just you or me. Everyone is equally God. No qualifications there. We're all God. And we're in various degrees of awakening to that. Sai Baba is fully awakened to that. He knows he's God. The rest of us are in the process of returning our remembrance to that. So when you are depending upon predigested information coming from another person's limited state of awareness or total lack of awareness, you're going to be experiencing confusion and thus doubt, you know, as to whether or not it is true. And I'd have to say categorically, no, nothing that comes from the ego's mind, the ego mind, is true, ever. It's always a lie. It's always a misinterpretation, a misunderstanding, a misidentifying of that which is. Because the ego mind cannot recognize the truth. It cannot, Jesus put it this way, the darkness cannot comprehend the light. So only the heart or the spiritual inner core essence knows. The rest is all speculation, glamour, illusion, mood making, etc. So confusion and doubt are bound to arise when you look to another to tell you what is going on. And this applies to personal information about your own life, as well as what seems to be going on within the universe. Your own intuitive awareness knows better than anyone else, that is, other than a fully God-realized master or the avatar himself. And they alone truly know what's going on. And yet, every master allows each individual to awaken to their own inner knowing through trial and error, through stumbling and falling and getting up again and crawling and slipping and sliding and whatever we do, to learn through a process of trial and error what is true, who we are, and what works for us. And, you know, when you have experienced something, it becomes your own. No one can take that from you. But another person can't give that to you, any more than another person can eat for you, digest your food for you, and stuff like that. You have to consume your own meal of enlightenment. You have to digest it. You have to process it. And you have to allow that to grow your awareness and expand it. So the oddest thing, actually, is that we all know this. There's a part of us that always is awake and knows. And yet we all have that part that pretends and that we don't know. And so the ego is the great pretender. The ego is the great poobah of ignorance. It is the form and manifestation of the false self or ego mind. It's interesting. The most mentally deranged person can be addressed as perfectly sane, and there is a sane part of the consciousness that will respond and say exactly what's going on with them. I had the opportunity to test this out with a close friend who was diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. And yet there was a perfectly sane part of him that knew exactly what was going on. But the insane part was working for him, so he was playing that card. And his objective was to escape from the responsibility, stress, and pressures of this level of so-called reality. And he succeeded. But there are better and more lasting ways, and one of them would be that we can use every experience, every situation, and every relationship in our life as an awakener to what is really going on in our life. We can use them as stepping stones and as mirrors of what's going on within us. And actually, that would make an interesting journaling exercise to journal, first of all, from the point of view of your limited human self, your ego, let's say, and then journal from the perspective of your true divine self. You know, write to yourself from your God self. I think you'd be amazed at how much true insight and clarity you've been hiding from your conscious awareness. So, you know, why not try it and see for yourself? Each person lives within the worldview and reality of their previous experiences in this and countless lifetimes upon Earth and other planetary and multidimensional home realms and homelands. So truth always gives one that sense of peace because it's simple and universally applicable. There's something about a limited truth where people say, oh, well, that's just for a certain amount of people, or only we have the truth, or you're saved only if you do it our way and how we tell you it is. There's always a part of us, I think, that goes clunk when we hear that, because we all recognize that to God we're all equal, and we're all equally loved, and we're all equally worthy. We're all worthy, because in highest truth, we've never actually been here, except in a bad dream. So why would we be faulted for falling asleep and having a nightmare? It doesn't make sense. Why would we be punished in eternal damnation for falling asleep and having a bad dream? You see, divine love and eternal damnation, that's a huge oxymoron, isn't it? So, you know, we have to look at where that information came from, what level of consciousness. Surely it was not the absolute highest level of awareness, because God is no respecter of persons and has no favorites. We're all God's favorite. So the very nature, and our very nature, as divine beings, is to resonate to the universal truth of life's essential oneness. The awareness of divine goodness and grace sits easily in every heart. We can all swallow that and feel good inside when we do so, because it's true. Truth is always sweet, because God is sweetness itself. So notice how there's no conflict and dispute regarding universal truth. Our inner truth always bears witness to spoken truth, which is rare. It's rare you hear any spoken truth on this planet, because as soon as it comes through a person's human personality and mind and consciousness and conditioning, it has some taint to it, doesn't it? In fact, Sai Baba said one time to us that the only time that God fully descends to Earth is when one of us who represents the negative polarity comes in direct contact with him, for example, as the positive polarity. When we touch his feet, the negative polarity of the material person and the positive polarity of the God-divine essence in the form of the avatar, they come together, and at that moment, God descends fully into that place of contact. I'll never forget the time that I was in India with Sai Baba, and in those days, we had access to Baba all the time. I mean, we could touch his feet several times a day. We could talk to him. He would touch us. He would laugh with us. He'd joke with us. We had really, when I think about it, unlimited access, because there were very comparatively few people around Baba in the 70s and 80s. And I remember, it must have been 1978, 79, Sai Baba stood in front of me and gave me permission to take Padanamaskar, which is to touch his feet, but not just touch them, to actually have that experience of full divine contact with God. And I remember he stood there, and I kissed first one foot, which represents the Divine Mother, that would be the left side of his body, and then I kissed the right foot, which represents God the Father. And then I looked up, and he was standing there, and he looked like he was in bliss. He was kind of just moving gently back and forth and just had his eyes closed. He was really in a blissful place. So then I kissed both of his feet again. He was still standing there. So then I just lay my head upon his feet. And I felt like universes within universes within universes turned within my consciousness. And it seemed like forever. It seemed like I had all the time in the world to be there at his feet. And I remembered when I finally sat up and I felt rather dizzy and like everything in me had been rearranged, I felt like the total purpose of all my incarnations, and God knows how many bazillions of lifetimes I've had on this and other planets, I felt like it was totally fulfilled at that moment. Completely fulfilled. I was never the same after that. That was the year also I had divine God realization. Baba gave me complete realization at that time. I was attending the second summer school of Indian spirituality and of spirituality in Indian culture, in which Sai Baba, as Lord Krishna himself, taught us from the Bhagavad Gita and spoke, you know, every day. We were with Sai Baba one or two times a day, every day, with him teaching us. And that was my experience that year. And then, you know, you have the experience, and then it has to get homogenized and incorporated into your whole life. And, you know, it takes the whole rest of that incarnation to usually do that. So it's a process. It's consummated out of time, and then it's a process in time of being incorporated as your the place that you then move from in your life. Whew, that kind of knocked me into another dimension where I hardly have any mind to keep continuing here. Let me see what else I can tell you. The main thing that I want to share is that the entirety of cosmic creation loves you. And you are recognized by the cosmos as a divine embodiment of the one great life. And when man looks up into the night sky without expanded awareness and heart coherency, he becomes fearful and imagines all sorts of unpredictable dangers are lurking. And he sees potential destruction and catastrophes everywhere. And the ego is that part that edges God out. So when you edge God out of the cosmic picture, all that remains is fear, which is false evidence appearing real. So people look to the government, to doomsday prepping, to storing and stashing, to, you know, retiring to remote areas of the world, or to extraterrestrials to beam them up and save them. But how many look to God or trust God 100%, not as just a, you know, an indoctrination from church, but as an actual living presence and reality that awakens with you in the morning, walks with you through the day, in you, through you, as you, and sleeps in you and through you and as you at night, so that you are in God and God is in you all the time, and that's the one thing you could never forget or lose conscious awareness of. That is something which, if you keep practicing it, if you keep practicing reminding yourself that you are divine, that you live and move and have your being in God, that you are hidden in God, in Christ, that you are in the secret place of the Most High, if you keep that always in your mind, you create new neural pathways in your brain. You actually shift the way your brain interprets reality, and you begin to see through the lens of higher awareness. You begin to live as a self-actualized and self-realized individual, not the outer human self, but the inner divine self, which is identical with God. So that is why it's important to be very faithful and loyal to your spiritual practices, Keep doing them and doing them and doing them. Don't do them to receive some particular information or to don't use God as a big begging bowl. Go in to be innocent with God and experience the presence of God. Just hang out in the presence of God without addictive demand that you have to have a high or an experience or God has to do something for you. Just love God. Be with God in loving and without agenda, and allow God to do what he, she, it will with you. Just give yourself to God and let God decide all the details. So the talking heads on your YouTube and throughout the social media are largely speaking from the ego mind, and this lack of any real awareness of what is going on, without spiritual awareness, there can be no accurate understanding of what is actually taking place. So when you keep feeding your mind with the guesstimations and misinformations and the fear-mongering of social media, and the opinions of people who are absolutely clueless and looking to everything but divine realization, you're going to be creating a very unnecessary fear-based perception of life. And it's very unnecessary for you to do that. So naturally, the information forthcoming from the outer world and the people who are caught up in living worldly lives will always be of a fearful nature, as if all one had to depend upon was one's own wits to survive. And, when you're depending on your own cleverness and self-defense to face the unknown and to amass one's own provision, or to look to some government agency, you're setting yourself up for a big, big shock, because they are as clueless as most people are. The government is not enlightened. It is not operating from enlightenment. It is operating from ego mind, from people who are totally asleep and are completely clueless and powerless to do anything about anything. The only one that has power is God Almighty. And to the degree that we can put aside our own egocentric fixations and attachments, we can source into that divine knowing and know exactly how to face and do whatever we're called upon to do at the moment that it appears. God is always present here and now. You can always handle here and now. But the minute you begin to look at what happened in the past and project that onto the future, you're in a position of conflict and stress, and that wears you down through worry, sleeplessness, and the toll that it takes on your health, both physically and mentally. So the ego always and invariably focuses all of its attention upon the outer world systems and what is not going on to provide and protect and explain what is happening in the world, or what may happen in the future. It's always in that fear-mongering state, because its whole attention is upon the preservation of keeping things the way they are, fixed, predictable, solid, material. That's the whole realm of the ego. So realize that most people are totally unaware of any presiding divine order and perfection, and even less of their own divinity. So you find that people are using today's global technology and access to information gathered by other unaware people to scare themselves and create more stress and worry about the present and the future. And it's all totally unnecessary. This is an example of using information against yourself, where it's not promoting your highest good or advancement. So today we can see the things in the cosmos that have been going on for ages But because we can suddenly see solar flares and passing comets and asteroids and spacecraft from other worlds and so forth, suddenly we have new things to worry about. So instead of rejoicing in the awesome wonder of divine creation and feeling oneness and kinship with all that exists, most people shrink in fear and a sense of vulnerability. And there you have people in desperate mode, acting out desperately and in crazy ways. So in view of what the mental speculators were suggesting might happen even this month, one so-called authority was so bold as to suggest that our only hope of survival was to hide in a cave or build an underground cement bomb shelter. Hello, how many of you listening are going to go out in your backyard and bury yourself in the ground or in some cement bomb shelter? Only the insanity of the ego mind comes up with such silliness. Only the mind that has completely edged God out of the equation. So there are governmental leaders who allegedly have done just that. And some say as early as 50 years ago, they have created entire underground living complexes for themselves, I might add, not for you and me, for themselves. And they're setting the example of the ego's insanity and the lengths to which it will go to preserve its own physical body. So get it loud and clear from no less an authority than the divine avatar himself. You are not a body. You are immortal spirit. Birthless, deathless, eternal, and nothing can touch you. Nothing can kill you. Nothing can keep you from existing eternally one with God. It reminded me actually of what Jesus said when he stated that those who seek to save their lives shall lose their lives, but those who lose their lives for my sake shall inherit eternal life, which is just another way of saying that all material things will pass away, and only the spirit has immortality. So don't identify with things that are transient and passing. Every material form is going to disappear. Every form currently is continually modifying, morphing, and changing. In fact, if you'd look at your body under a microscope, you'd see flashing, darting electrical impulses and light and wave particles moving rapidly and constantly changing to accommodate your varying moods, your states of consciousness, and your feelings. It's constantly moving and malleable. You are creating your body, your life, your experience, and everything, second by second by second. And nothing in the material world is ever the same from one second to the next. It's just moving so rapidly, so imperceptibly, that you can't really gauge it. I mean, you can see a child grow or a plant grow, but you don't actually see the growing process itself. And that is governed only by your consciousness and what you are choosing to energize and eat and partake of. So the other thing was that Jesus was often reminding his disciples that their emphasis in life needed to be upon the things that were eternal and not the things that would be given to rust and decay. And that God knew what they needed in terms of their material life, and that was not to be a concern. They were rather to seek the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and then all things would be added unto them. He also said, which one of you can add one day to your allotted lifespan by worrying about it? And that in these days, he also said that people's hearts would fail them for fear of what they saw coming upon the world. Well, I don't see any of that stuff coming upon the world. I just don't. What I see is a great movement into higher awareness that each of us is co-facilitating, because so many of us are awakening and are choosing to believe God, to trust God, to be God realized, to be the Christ of these times, to be the visionaries, to be the way showers, to be the truth tellers, to be the wisdom keepers, and to speak from the divine realization that many of us have to some degree, so that there is a voice of the, let's say, the collective soul or the collective Messiah or the collective Christ or the body of Christ, whatever you want to call it, that is speaking into the world at this time. And we are the ones that need to be the visionaries that speak the good news into people's ears, into people's minds, into people's resonant fields, so that they begin to implement new programs instead of complaining and talking about how bad things are and what horrible thing may happen, and all of the evildoers and all of that. Quit it, for heaven's sakes. Just quit it already. And begin to use your creative intelligence to implement those divine momentums that can replace these old eddies and riptides and whirlpools. That riptide is a really good metaphor for that retrogressive type of thinking where you're focused into the past scenarios of galactic wars and all the evildoers and all that stuff. That has been like so taken care of already, that only a repeated focus on it is keeping it anywhere in evidence, and is giving it the last death throes, a little bit of waning vitality, which erupts as little wars and skirmishes and so forth and so on. So don't allow your own testimony to exacerbate conflict and to perpetrate the old momentums. Be vision carriers and vision embodiments of the new paradigm, which is one that is love-based. Know that God loves all of its creation. Out of God comes all things. And not one single soul will be lost. No one is overlooked, disregarded, disrespected, marginalized. Everyone has equal right. And Baba said, if you take one step towards the Lord, he will take 1,000 towards you. If you shed one tear for the Lord, he will wipe 1,000 tears from your eyes. That the Lord has the love of 1,000 and more mothers, and an ability to care for you as 1,000 or more fathers. But you need to rely completely upon God with no bumps and jumps of egocentric doubt. Invest your future in God. That is the only investment that's going to bring you divine, eternal dividends. Do not place your value in money, because if you do, and the money somehow is not there, what are you going to do? Go jump out of a window like some people do? So don't put your values there. Wake up. Get a grip. Get your clue on. Get clueful. Replace cluelessness with divine awareness. Ask for it. When you ask, know that you have to receive. It's always given to you if you ask. The door is always open to you if you knock. And if you seek, you will find. So seek God, every evidence you can find of the goodness, the love, the grace, every modicum of anything positive that you can possibly notice anywhere in your environment. Focus on that. Focus on the beauty, the luminosity, the light, and the good feelings that arise when you do that. That is your own feedback mechanism saying, yeah, right on. You're on target. Go with that. Go with that. Go with the good, go with the goodness, go with the good feelings, because that is God. God is good. God is beyond good. God is that which you are. You are God. And there are some practical truths to be anchored in awareness, and these will assist you in facing whatever happens now or in the future. Number one, you are immortal spirit, now and forever. The body is a passing, temporary phenomena that will be cast aside like an outworn garment. You have worn many cosmic outfits, and your earth attire is only useful upon earth. You're going to be moving into a more subtle body. Some say a light body, but it's going to be a glorious body. So don't worry how that happens. Number two, earth is not your home. It is your assigned classroom at this moment. You have studied in numerous cosmic universities. Your learning, creative potential, and enlightenment are unlimited and ongoing. Number three, all worldly information is relative. Only truth is eternal. The greatest truth to be realized, God is all that is. The key to unlocking this awareness is to be still and know I am God. Number four, when you've realized the only thing that is to be realized here on earth, and that is, I'm not a human being, I am God, then from that position is the ginormous epiphany that each soul is destined to awaken to. I am God. In fact, you'll just not even say anything at that point. Number five, then you get to take your place along with the other supermen and superwomen who have graduated to cosmic custodianship. Because that's what we do. We graduate and we take on the service of other worlds and other places where they are in, where we are right now, the current learning curriculum. And we become the benefactors and the teachers and the way showers and the avatars and the masters of other planetary worlds or maybe Earth. But suffice it to know that you have a divine assignment, and that's to awaken and to begin to live as a divine, God-realized, immortal being. So I hope this has been of service to you tonight. I know many people are very concerned about the comet and the sun shifting and all of that sort of thing, but I'm not, and I would suggest that you don't worry about that either. Know that God is in control, and absolutely nothing happens in God's creation that God does not ordain. And everything is supervised by myriads and myriads of divine co-workers and agencies throughout the cosmos. Let's go out chanting Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, which is the Sanskrit word for peace. Deep breath. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace to all the worlds and all the beings of all the worlds, and peace to the beings of Earth. Be at peace and know that peace is always the answer of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord.